It doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes the passage of scripture that you're reading speaks in a very direct way to the situation that you are facing. This even happens to preachers every once in a while. Last weekend, I went to bed on Saturday night thinking everything was in order for Sunday morning. I had my confirmation class all planned out. I had worked through my parts of the liturgy. I had my sermon all written. The documents were all open on my computer when I went to bed, sort of lined up nicely at the bottom of the screen the way I like them on Saturday night. Everything was in order. And then Sunday morning came. And I will spare you the details, but the doctor who came to see me called it an acute case of sciatica. I couldn't sit, stand, or walk, and no position I could find lying down did very much to relieve the pain. I was truly incapacitated. This was not like a situation of, I wonder if I can just power through this and go to work. There was really nothing I could do. It was about all I could manage to pick up the phone and call Terry at 8 a.m. And he might have answered the phone by saying, uh-oh, instead of hello, because an 8 a.m. call from me on Sunday morning is not normal. Anyway, you know the rest of the story. I spent Sunday in bed, in a daze of painkillers, and others stepped in here. Terry preached and presided, preaching the sermon that I had prepared. Katerina adapted musical plans. Others helped to welcome and introduce the speaker who was giving a presentation after worship. Throughout the afternoon and over the days that followed, I received messages of encouragement from many of you, assuring me that everything was going just fine at church. Some of you shared your own experiences with incidents similar to mine. Some offered words of counsel and advice for getting better, which I already am to a large degree. So that's the background to my week, which just happened to be spent with the sixth chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians. Bear one another's burdens, he says, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Like I said, Scripture sometimes speaks in a very direct way to just the situation that you have been facing. This others bearing my burdens stuff does not come particularly naturally to me. The culture that I grew up in, at least, puts far more emphasis on self-reliance, independence, making your own way, taking care of yourself. Maybe you know something about that too. In so many ways, we are told not to be a burden to others. All must carry their own loads is much closer to the prevailing message. That's much more my default position when it comes to myself, at least. And isn't it strange that in this short passage, at the end of Galatians, Paul says both of those things? One moment it's bear one another's burdens, and practically the very next, it's all must carry their own loads. What is that second phrase, seemingly so totally individualistic, even doing in this letter about using our freedom in Christ to love and serve one another? I think it helps to look back just a bit. Right before our reading today, Paul offers that list of virtues or qualities that characterize Christian freedom. This is what a truly free life looks like, he says. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It looks like all of those wonderful things offered with and for others. And Paul doesn't call these things a checklist or a measuring stick. He calls them the fruits of the Spirit. These are the sorts of things that grow when we are basking in the freely given love of God, when we are rooted in that good soil and nurtured by that cooling rain. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and all the rest are not, in Paul's telling, our work, our effort alone. They are gifts, offerings, fruits of God's Spirit at work. It's such a beautiful notion, such a beautiful picture, and I could sort of imagine Paul hanging out there for a while, going on about how good it is when people soak in the Spirit and bear this sort of lovely fruit for others. But actually, he moves almost immediately into far less beautiful territory. If we live by the Spirit, let's be guided by the Spirit, he says. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. This has sort of been striking me funny this week, because Paul seems to know so well what people are like. I mean, he's just introduced the fruits of the Spirit, not the fruits of Bill or Louisa. But he knows that Bill and Louisa are probably going to start comparing the fruits present in their lives. Who is more generous, more faithful, more loving, more peaceful? My fruit is so much more impressive than your fruit. It sounds totally silly, and yet this is what we're like much of the time, right? If we're not gloating about how well we're doing, we're feeling inferior to someone else. We are deeply accustomed to comparison, competition, envy, and it's an amazing fact of human nature that we can slide into that familiar territory even when it comes to supposedly selfless qualities. There is no need to compete or envy one another, Paul says, because we are talking about the one Spirit here. The good you see in your neighbor's life, well, that's the Spirit. The good you see in your life, that's the Spirit too. It's not ultimately yours and mine. It is the overflowing gift of God. It is all cause for joy, all cause for thanksgiving, all cause for celebrating the freedom we have to live in mutuality and care. That's what I hear behind Paul's insistence that all must carry their own loads. Tend to the Spirit's work in your life. Tend to what God wants to be doing in you. And that's enough. Don't compare or evaluate or critique others, because that's absolutely not what we are here for. We are here to bear one another's burdens. And I'm back to that verse again, both because it speaks to me this week and because I think it's a word that's needed very much in our world today. So here are two things that I hear right now in Paul's command to bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. The first is that bearing the burdens of others is not, in Christian terms, an inconvenience or a nuisance. It is simply Christian life. Many of our images of freedom are of being unencumbered, right? Of nobody making any claims on me, nobody messing with my schedule, nobody getting in the way of whatever it is I might want to do. But that is not at all the picture of the good life that Jesus gives us. A good life, he says, in his teaching, in his living, in his dying, is life that sees those around us as most definitely making a claim on us. It sees others as fellow children of God, gifted and loved and worthy of our care and attention. When another's in need, my first reaction should not be, "Oh man, this really messes with my schedule." It should be, "Right, this is what I'm here for. This is what life is about. How can I carry some of this load for my neighbor?" I'm not saying living that way is easy or natural. Certainly not for me. We likely have plenty of unlearning to do. And yet that is what I hear in Paul's words, the reminder that a truly free life looks like one turned inside out, free for love and service, where it is actually a privilege to care for one another. That's the first thing I hear in that well-known verse right now. And the second is that life is going to hold both sides of this coin. It is going to move back and forth between bearing and being borne up, carrying and being carried. Sometimes we are each going to be the one with a shoulder to lend, and sometimes we are going to be the one who needs to be supported. That's not failure. That's not messing up or missing the mark. It's not cause for shame or embarrassment. It's simply Christian life. You know that team building exercise that you maybe did once upon a time at a summer camp where everybody stands in one big circle facing the same direction, and then at just the same moment, you all sit down on the knees of the person right behind you, and maybe for just one instant, you're all kind of supporting one another in that circle, in this one moment of mutuality. That's not a bad image for the arc of life as Paul presents it here. It's not lone individuals off on their own being virtuous and spiritually strong. It is all of us basking in the love of God and being there to catch one another. It's almost a crazy project, isn't it? Writes New Testament scholar Sarah Henrick. To imagine that we human beings could eschew the measurements of value being used in the everyday world. To imagine that human beings could devote themselves to one another's well-being, confident there would be others who would care for them. To insist, especially now, 20 centuries later, that we are no longer under the powers of the present age, but live and die under the aegis of God's Spirit. To imagine that God, through God's body, bears our burdens. It does sound like a crazy project sometimes. And yet, with all that is hard and unjust and sometimes just plain unpredictable in life, this is what we have: a picture of bold mutuality and care and the promise of the Spirit to support us. This is what guides us, friends. This is what we keep on returning to and working to learn. Some days we even catch a glimpse of it in action. It is strange, and it is beautiful, and it is simply Christian life. Thanks be to God. Amen.